Blue 20! Blue 20!
It's Intentional Ground. Chicago's best Bears breakdown and analysis.
Ice up, son. Ice up.
Now, they are WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue and the Chicago Sun-Times Adam Johns.
Welcome into Intentional Grounding. This is episode 34. The one and only Walter Payton is the only one we could possibly dedicate this one to.
I was with Jared today.
You did his TV show, didn't you?
A little sports feed.
Nice. How'd it go?
Solo. Yeah, it was good. It was good. He loves talking running backs. He loves talking linebackers. He's got high expectations. 10-win season for the Bears coming up.
10 wins, huh? That would not surprise me.
I think it's the ceiling.
10 is the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the NFL where anything can happen. That's interesting.
Well, if you think they're going to win 11, I think you're crazy.
But, well, maybe not predict it, but...
Yeah, do your thing, do your thing.
Yeah, this is the Walter Payton episode. Episode 34 of Intentional Grounding. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us at WGNradio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. Both of us have a ton of content up today. As it was our first OTA practice that was open to the media, the second OTA practice for the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have another one tomorrow, but they're only open on Wednesdays to us. And then there's a veteran minicamp in a few weeks that the whole thing's open to us. Find the podcast on iTunes. If you haven't already, the easiest way to listen is to find it on iTunes by searching Intentional Grounding. And subscribe there, leave a review, and rate it. If you enjoy the podcast, we appreciate you doing that. It helps get it a little bit more exposure. But before we get to OTAs, let's just set the record straight that Adam Johns paid up on the Portillo's portion of the bet. Still waiting on that beer,
yeah,
though.
You know what? It was a crazy day, I think, for both of us.
It was.
We were planning to have a few cocktails and to do a podcast while we enjoy ourselves, I guess. But crazy day, OTAs, you know, a lot of availability, a lot of interviews. Just a busy day for both of us.
Yeah, no.
Although I could use one right now.
Well, I got a fridge over there. We are in my basement. There is a beer fridge.
Take a break.
You are free to walk over there and grab one if you'd like. But you did pay up for the Portillo's.
Yep.
And again, for those of you maybe listening for the first time or don't know about this bet, we made a bet that Christian Hackenberg would not get out of the second round of the NFL draft. Adam said no way.
What pick was he again?
I don't know exactly, but he was mid to late-ish second.
Yeah.
I wasn't sweating, though. Let me put it that way. I was not yet sweating.
No.
I knew there would be a team. There's always a team. And not only that, the Jets proved me right because they traded up to get him.
Yeah. He's going to be a tough situation for him in New York. But
that Italian beef taste is so good. Oh, that was excellent. Let's get to OTAs.
Please.
Now. Let's start by talking about what we can and cannot discuss. Because we go through this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The media in Buffalo this week, a little shell shock because they now have a new media policy about what is. Now they're in a little bit of a different situation because apparently their OTA practices are open to the public, too.
Yeah. But they can't even name players.
Yeah, they can't say, like, Jay Cutler threw an interception.
No. Or who dropped his pass
something.
Yeah, oh yeah.
For these ones, we can say, like, Brian Hoyer threw an interception
today.
Yeah,
I'll say it. John Timu had a great interception today.
Okay.
Bryce Callahan had an impressive diving interception, I believe, today.
On Jay.
Of Jay Cutler. We could say that.
Okay.
You know, I can't tell you what type of play the formation
we can't say
it was.
Formation, who was lining up with what team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, am I allowed to say that Christian Jones is now an outside linebacker?
I don't know. Did you?
I don't know. Am I allowed to say that?
I guess you just did.
I'm not saying that I said it. I'm just asking if I am allowed to put
that
out there in the podcast.
We'll just have to ask him next week.
Okay, we'll find out maybe next week.
See how his pass rushing is going.
We'll find out if I'm allowed to tell you that Christian Jones is now an outside linebacker. I don't know if I'm allowed to tell you yet. We'll find out. Okay. let's start with who was there and who wasn't then.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, there are rules sort of about what we can and cannot talk about.
You know, the NFL's crazy like that. They try to restrict our access. You know, you find... I don't know, finding ways around it is the best way to put it.
Right.
But we could still do our jobs to an extent. You hate to be limited, and you hate to agree such things, but they don't have to allow you in the first place.
Right.
Training camp's a bit different because it is open to the public. I don't know how the Bills reporters are dealing with this. You know, I kind of of enjoying their tweets about so and so, you know, between this number and that number made a catch, you know, and stuff like that, how they're trying to.
Like, I think one of them was the square root of 25 just threw an interception.
Right. So like it's that. Clever. You know, it's whatever. NFL teams are kind of psycho about this stuff.
They are. So Alshon Jeffrey not there. We knew that. Mm-hmm. We are allowed to tell you who was there and who wasn't. We're not allowed to get into specific injuries. So for instance,
but we can provide context.
Right. So Pernell McPhee was not there today. Mm-hmm. Now what's tricky about this is because they're not all these OTAs are open to us.
Yep.
I mean, technically he could have been out there yesterday.
Yeah.
Technically he could be there tomorrow. Maybe he was just sick today or something. Yeah, I don't know.
Technically, he had off-season knee surgery.
Right.
Just a minor knee scope. Had it cleaned out. It was the same thing.
He should be back from that by now.
But why would you do tons of things with him in May?
Well, that part I understand.
Yeah, that's the point.
I guess I was a little surprised not to see him out there on the field at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even observing. Last year, we saw some guys like John Bostic didn't participate in any off-season activities last year, but he was always there.
out there
on the field. But again, Pernell may have been out there yesterday.
Yeah.
Maybe he's out there tomorrow.
Maybe he was out there during the walkthroughs that we're not open to. Exactly.
So I think that little nugget.
Well, we should say John Fox is not available to us during OTAs.
That's a good point, too. Not that he would tell us what's going on anyway, but John Fox is not available to us during OTAs, so we can't even ask. I wouldn't worry too much about Pernell McPhee not being out there, knowing that he had the knee surgery. Why push him? Make sure he's healthy. You want to keep him off that knee. I wouldn't be surprised if he's limited in training camp.
Yeah.
Very cautious in preseason games. There's really no point in risking it. So, but then again, I remember this time last year us saying, well, I wouldn't worry too much about the Kevin White thing. He's not out there in OTAs.
I think that's the exception to the rule. No?
Well, I'm just...
I mean, they do hide injuries. Injuries do occur. Maybe his knee is a little bit more... You hate to speculate.
It's something to monitor.
Yeah.
So if he's not out there next week, we don't see him at all for 3 weeks, mm-hmm. he's not out there in minicamp, then when we finally get John Fox in 3 weeks for veteran minicamp, and then definitely if they all show up to training camp and in the opening press conference they go, oh, he's going to start on the PUP list.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll all take it a little bit more serious than maybe we did with Kevin White last year.
Right. It's fair to question
after
what happened last year.
No question. Okay, so, and then the other two guys that weren't out there, Will Sutton and Tyo Fabaluje, I was told they were just sick.
Yep.
So, not a big deal there. Although, those are two guys that need to be out there as much as possible. They need the reps. They're fighting for jobs.
Both are bubble guys.
Absolutely.
Even Tyo Fabaluje, maybe they're going to give their draft picks every chance they can get, but there's he's a bubble guy.
No question. Otherwise, everyone else was there.
Yeah.
A couple guys were maybe limited a little bit.
Can we say that?
I don't know if we're allowed to say that, but nothing that was notable.
No.
So I that's fine. All right, let's get to Kevin White. First time we've seen him on the field in a while, going through a full practice. They're not wearing pads. It's not really.
But you want to see? We can say this, but he was running full speed.
Yeah. He said, and he's going 100%. He feels 100%.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's very important to him. He was hard on his cuts, hard on his breaks, and we know that the turf could be a little bit giving at Halas Hall now, thanks to Rancho Roll. He looked good, great. I don't know if great, because I don't know what to compare it to yet, because we didn't see him much last year, but he looked healthy. I liked his mindset, getting to talk to him afterward. Positive.
You didn't think he liked my questions, though.
I don't think he liked your questions at all. We're talking about his buddy, Alshon.
Well, it was his offensive coordinator that brought it up, that Alshon not being here can open the door for more reps for other guys. And in my head, as much conversation as you guys were all liking to have with Kevin White today about what TV shows he's watching with Jay Cutler and how they're watching the Super Bowl together and
Game of Thrones,
which
he's
not
a fan.
You brought up.
I think I fumbled the name. I'm not a game. I think I called it Games of Thrones.
Oh, you went plural.
Plural.
I don't watch that show.
I don't watch it either. I hear it's great.
Yeah, probably people are going to judge us because we don't watch it, but that's okay. But meanwhile, while you guys were all talking about that, I'm more concerned about what's going on the field with those guys and the chemistry that they have to build on the field. So I thought it was a fair question to say, hey, Alshon not being here,
right,
that opens up the door for more reps, more balls for you, more opportunities to build that chemistry. He didn't like that question.
No.
He doesn't want to talk about Alshon.
No. Alshon's his guy. They share the same agent. I think they are close. They developed. Did you ever see them interacting with each other in the locker room last year.
Oh, yeah.
There's a bond there. They're friendly.
They like each other a lot.
And they've known each other, again, same agency. So there's no friction there whatsoever. I think he's just looking out for his guy. His agent probably told him not to say much. The Bears probably told him not to say much about Jeffrey. Look, the Bears would love for Jeffrey to be here, but we know he's got his own financial interests to consider. No franchise tag player is doing voluntary stuff right now. They got to think of their own futures and their own contracts.
Yeah, it's understandable. I mean, the Bears hate it, but it's also pretty standard. It's not like Martellus. I mean, I'm sure they're not happy with him.
Yeah.
Just like they weren't happy with Martellus a year ago, but the difference is that Martellus wasn't franchise tag. So there's a little bit, knowing that this is a business and that you can cut a guy like Matt Slauson at any time.
Yep.
That they also have to be understanding of the situation that Alshon doesn't want to get hurt.
Right, right. And his injury history shows they're probably okay with that, you know? So, and the Martellus Bennett situation, it's completely different. He had 2 years left on his contract. They knew about his problems with the previous regime, Mark Trestman and company. So he was questionable to begin with, and him not showing up because he wanted more money with the new regime just was a bad message from the beginning. Alshon Jeffrey got his franchise tag. Just completely different situations.
Yeah. Now, we should point out that we're starting to get into we're under 2 months to the deadline on the franchise tag.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of working out a long-term deal. Now, Alshon's going to be a Bear this year. Mm-hmm. Worst comes worse, he plays under the one-year tag. But if both sides are trying to work out a long-term deal, it's starting to get closer to crunch time, and I don't know how closely.
Not that close yet, though.
No.
The real conversations will happen in that week leading up to it.
Yeah, I don't know if.
I just better not ruin my 4th of July. That's all I meant. That's all that matters.
That's
to
a
me.
Good
I'll
point.
I'll be out of state.
Because usually, selfishly, we can leave veteran minicamp and not really have to worry about a single thing until training camp opens.
Right.
The only exception to that is franchise tag years,
which
is this is one of them.
And a big name.
I didn't think Very about that till right now, so now I'm a little bummed out.
Yeah. Well, you'll have some time there, Adam. Don't worry.
Yeah, I'm going on vacation, so sorry, Alshon.
I don't know how I feel about it. Again, I think the true vibes from the negotiations, whether it's positive or negative or whatever, will come out in the 10 days, the week prior to the July 14th deadline.
I think so, too. I think it's going to come right down on the deadline.
Yeah.
Whether there's a deal or not, I mean, that's when we're going to find out. The deadline is July 15th. So, all right, let's. I have some questions here on Twitter. I asked our listeners to shoot us some questions. Here's one from Monster of the Tri-State on Twitter. Am I crazy for thinking the Bears defense can be a top 10 unit? They went from 31 under Tucker to 14 under Fangio, and they have even more talent now.
Not at all. It's completely reasonable. Their front seven is significantly
It's pretty good.
Better. Yeah.
And you hear them talk.
Oh, like the swagger?
Well,
So they get Danny Trevathan, like, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
We're ready to eat and all that stuff.
Well, Pernell McPhee came in with that talk a year ago.
Yeah.
And I think it had an effect, a positive effect.
Oh, yeah.
But that was just one guy. Now there's, like, 4 or 5 new guys
that
are talking that way.
Yeah, the edge you're talking about. You know, like the Mel Tucker, remember he wanted a salty bunch? That was his word, salty, right?
Yeah, and they were salty at him.
Yeah. They tried to get players who could play that way, and they completely whiffed. This, you have more faith in this coaching staff that they're figuring out what they want to do defensively. And just from a talent perspective, I know it's just on paper, but Shay McClellan, Christian Jones, or Danny Trevathan, and Jarrell Freeman.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think
you're better.
I think Akeem Hicks is better than Jarvis Jenkins.
Absolutely. Boy, they're talking him up huge.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Kyle Long today, who's now going up against Hicks in practice, faced him twice when he was with the Saints.
Yeah.
Kyle Long's first year and second year, they went up against the Saints where Akeem Hicks was playing. He said he's gotten a lot better even since then.
Yeah.
What did Danny Trevathan say?
Called him a mountain.
A mountain. You can't move him.
Yeah.
And he's, as a linebacker, you love that because Hicks is keeping blockers off of the linebackers at the second level, which is really in a 3-4 the biggest job that those guys have.
Eddie Goldman will be better?
Theoretically, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Should
he looks, I don't want to say thinner, but more in shape. Remember his weight being an issue last year?
Absolutely. A lot of talk about
Jonathan
that.
Jonathan Bullard, a lot of promise there. They love them some Mitch Unrein. Eagle Ferguson, they praise a lot for his offseason work this year. I think he's kind of a question mark to see what he could do on the field. Potential in that front seven. Again, and you got a healthier Lamar Houston, Willie Young, who came on in the second half of the season last year. So just the potential of this front seven it looks pretty good.
I think the depth on the edge, very good.
Yeah.
Now that you've drafted Leonard Floyd, I think the depth at inside linebacker is certainly better because you had at least glimpses last year that guys like a John Timo.
I think John Timo is a player. Sorry to interrupt, but I think he's a player.
And he's not going to start, though.
No.
But that's what I mean. So that's pretty good depth, and he's going to be an impact special teams guy. Jonathan Anderson showed flashes. I don't know if those are guys that if they have to start 16 games that you're going to be okay with it, but if they have to fill in a pinch, I think they proved that they could do that.
Here or there.
Or even a game if it comes down to it.
Yeah. And Nick Kwiatkowski.
And then you have Nick Kwiatkowski, the new draft pick, who's going to be in there.
I could say this, right? He made a play today, or it would have been a play, would have been a tackle for loss on a swing pass.
Yeah.
That he read perfectly. He allowed the receiver to catch it.
And they talked about his instincts being very good.
Well, he was right there. It would have been a minimal game, maybe 1 yard loss. He was right there. And who caught the pass? Jaquizz Rodgers. So, very fast.
Yeah.
Very instinctive, maybe I should say.
Well, and that's what this defense needs more than anything is instincts. And I think especially at that inside linebacker position, that was the biggest thing they were missing last year, those instinctual plays.
Yeah.
And you got guys like Danny Trevathan, Jarrell Freeman, Nick Kwiatkowski. I mean, these are guys that aren't the most elite, fastest athletes who are testing off the
charts.
They're
not Patrick Willis's.
Right. They're not guys that are getting picked first overall in the draft. So they're guys that have, I think, overcome maybe size limitations, speed limitations by using their good instincts.
Yeah. But just to go back to, what was it, Monster of the Tri-States question, if you want to compare rosters, at least specifically in the front seven, huge difference, huge upgrades, I think. I know what you're saying. You know, Danny Trevathan wasn't a first-round pick. Jarrell Freeman started in the CFL.
Mm-hmm.
So these guys aren't highly paid, you know, touted free agent signings. These are value signings with players with some upside and something still to prove. And just on paper and production and history tells you they're significantly better than who they are replacing in the middle of the Bears defense.
Yeah. Now, back end could be a different question. And I don't know how much we can evaluate that until pads go on, really till the game start, especially at safety. But I think it starts with getting after the quarterback, and I think the Bears are in a better place this year to do that. Okay, this is from Chicago Bears Daily on Twitter. What five guys will start on the offensive line for the Bears come week one? Still pretty early on in that process, but I mean, I feel pretty confident Leno's starting the left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
I feel pretty confident that Kyle Long's starting at right guard.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel pretty confident that Bobby Massey's starting at right tackle.
Right.
I think the question marks are left guard and center.
Yep.
I think 90% Cody Whitehair's probably your starting left guard. Now, they may work him in there slowly. They may start him as a backup. They may start him, you know, further down in the depth chart just in terms of practice reps.
Mm-hmm.
To get him to earn that spot, that wouldn't surprise me at all. But, come on, second-round pick, you cut Matt Slauson, then 2 days later, chances are Whitehair starting unless he's turns out to be a complete bust that they find out early. And I don't think that's the case. I think he's ready to go.
Right.
Now, to me, the biggest question is at center, whether or not Hronis Grasu can hold down that job. That's something I can't tell you off of one OTA practice.
No.
They got to put the pads on. We got to see what this guy can do.
What do the Bears want? They want Whitehair and Grasu
starting.
They will give them every opportunity to get that. But it's a production-based business, as John Fox likes to say. They got Ted Larson and Manny Ramirez there to spur these young kids on. And look, by the end of the day, by the end of the season, who are your full-time starters? I think it's Whitehair and Hronis Grasu. But week one, I can't say both of them will be in there. I mean, maybe by week three, Cody Whitehair is your everyday starting left guard. You know, it takes time.
Yeah.
You know.
And they have veteran options in Ted Larson and Manny Ramirez ready to go.
Yeah. But if I had to go off his question, What was it? Chi Bears Daily? Chicago Bears
Chicago Daily? Chicago Bears Daily.
What the Bears want, it's Leno, Whitehair, Grisou, Long, and Massey.
Yeah, probably.
That's what they want.
I'm not convinced. I need to see Grisou in pass.
Adam hates Aronis Grisou.
He wasn't good last year.
He was a rookie playing center who had never done anything but, you know, snapping shotgun because he's running some gimmicky offense at Oregon.
I don't hate Aronis Grisou. I have my concerns about whether or not he can play in the NFL. It's a big difference.
Between hate.
Grisou's a nice guy.
Very nice guy. He's gotten bigger. They needed that. I mean, if you just looked at his physical size compared to, you know, Will Montgomery last year, Will Montgomery's, you know, triceps were like guy's thighs.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I'm like, his arms were huge.
Yeah.
Physically, you know, more imposing than Aronis Grisou, you know, and he's added some bulk and some muscle to his frame.
Let's see how that translates to the field.
We should make another bet here. He's your week one starter.
Ooh.
We'll come back to it.
Let's talk in training camp on that one. I think we'll find out real fast, actually.
Yeah.
In training camp. All right. Another question here. This is from at Joey E. Omen. With the increase of rookie safeties, any chance we see the Bears deploy a Chiefs dime D? Last year, their dime was safety heavy, so essentially putting three safeties on the field.
Yeah.
You know, that's something we saw a little bit, I want to say, in camp last year. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that a year later.
go ahead.
I think plus, that was
were
public practices. A year ago?
Yeah, I'm trying to. Well, you had Amos.
You had Amos, Mundy, and Antrell Roll. I believe they deployed three of them at the same time in some goal line sets.
Did Fangio do much of that?
I don't think he did. I think they didn't use it much during the regular season. They did show that in camp, though, I remember.
Yeah. I don't think he did much of that in San Francisco. No, maybe he got some flexibility with, though, like, DeAndre Houston, Carson.
No, he had Jimmy Ward. Jimmy Ward as a rookie.
He was
using Jimmy Ward as a third safety on the field.
Yeah, but now I could have swore I read on Twitter today that Jimmy Ward is competing for cornerback spot this
year. Because that's kind of how he would come on the field. He'd line up close to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was technically a safety that they were bringing on as an extra guy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to answer your question, if there's a guy that is, like, maybe a DeAndre Hall, the rookie who's played some safety, trying to be a corner, there's a guy that kind of, I mean, that's a good example, kind of a good comparison to Jimmy Ward.
Yeah.
I don't know about size and length and all that as a comparison, but just in terms of deploying him that way, you know, it's possible.
Yeah, putting your athletes and best players in certain situations. I mean, look, Vic Fangio has all sort of creative looks that he could throw at teams. Look at his picket fence thing that he used so often last year. He had one defense earlier in the year where Cornelius Washington was like the only down lineman.
I remember that,
the center. And everybody, there wasn't quite the picket fence, but they were all standing up. So.
Yeah.
Would I put anything past Vic Fangio? No.
No.
No, he's...
They'll find the best way to get the best guys on the field.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're going to do. They're not going to be married to, hey, this is our cover two scheme and we don't get out of it. You know, there's going to be more, especially more wrinkles now that they have more of their guys.
Yes.
Too.
Yes.
Really, you look up and down this roster. I mean, it is Ryan Pace's roster.
Right.
There are very few holdovers. And the ones that are guys that proved that they could play last year.
I mean, only,
Kyle Long, Jay Cutler, those kinds of guys.
Robbie Gold's the only one left from the Lovey era, right?
Yes.
Other than Cutler?
Yep. Gold's the only one from the Super Bowl
team. Super Bowl team, yeah.
I mean, Willie Young's still around. Lamar Houston's still around. But, you know, those guys
proved they could play.
And the guys that didn't, they're gone.
Mm-hmm. Even guys who showed they could still play but don't fit the scheme are gone. Your Matt Slauson's. You know what I mean?
Good point.
He could still play. I just don't think he's not what they're looking for right now with their defense. Or offense, I should say.
Matt Slauson.
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting hearing Kyle Long talk about that today. Really no surprise in anything he said, but just admitting that it's tough for him. I mean, that's the guy that he really looked up to, I think, his first few years in the league.
What did he say? When you think of the Chicago Bears, you think about number 22.
Yeah.
And then he said the Matt Slauson move was really hard for him because, he took him under his wing. He was there for him in so many different situations. I mean, and he was close to Jermaine Bushrod too. So those were his two, his real go-to guys when he broke into this league.
Now they're gone.
And his best friend Jordan Mills was gone last year.
I also thought it was interesting he was asked about how he needs to, how he takes on more of the leadership responsibility. Mm-hmm. And he kind of pushed back on that a little bit. Even though I think it's pretty obvious as being around the team that he clearly is one of the the big leaders. And you hear his voice out there.
I like calling him the face of the franchise.
Yeah.
Who is? Who else would be it? Cutler?
Cutler.
But who's the next? It's long. Who do people
identify
most with?
Yeah, I mean, because Forte's gone. Otherwise, it would have been Forte.
Yeah. But even then, I mean, Long was fast on the rise.
Yeah. It's not Jeffrey.
Three-time Pro Bowler.
Kevin White has a chance. If he really has a breakout Pro Bowl year,
he'll quit. He's got the personality.
I mean,
it was Long.
Yeah. Kevin seemed a little quiet today.
Yeah.
He didn't like my questions about Alshon.
I didn't like your pink shirt.
I did. My icebreaker was what was wrong with my pink shirt? Rich Campbell copied me today. He had a pink shirt on, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with pink shirts, but...
I did. I don't know if I had the best icebreaker today with Kyle or Kevin White, because I said, hey, did you drop your first pass?
Yeah. You probably got to start. Welcome to Chicago media, right?
See, so that was... I mean, I was trying to be a little lighthearted.
Did you say it with a smile?
Yes, I did.
Did you say it like a matter of fact? So you dropped your first pass, huh,
right?
Kevin?
No, I said it with a smile.
You're a bust.
And also, apparently, I was confused about the rules because I didn't. Would I have been allowed to just write that without him mentioning it?
Yeah. We're not prohibited to say.
Okay.
You know, one plus.
See, I thought I had to
12
ask.
Missed the pass.
I thought I had to have him comment on it to write about it.
No.
I mean,
no.
I got a quote on it.
No, you need to. Get comments on, like, trick plays.
All right. Hopefully John Fox doesn't listen to this.
He's a subscriber on iTunes.
Especially because we do the What Does the Fox Say segment, which we're not going to have today or during OTAs because he's not talking.
It's okay.
What does the Fox say? Nothing.
You know, it's all right. Anything else jump out to you today at OTAs? Daniel Braverman had a great quote today. Did you see it? He was asked.
I was there.
About Michael Jordan. Why was he asked about Michael Jordan?
Oh, yeah. Well, he brought up Michael. Because he said Michael. He said that Michael always said something like. Hang on. I'll find it.
Well, anyway, he was asked why he's a fan of Michael Jordan. Or have you always been a fan of Michael Jordan? And his response, I'm just a fan of greatness.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm just a fan of greatness. Yeah, let's not confuse it. He wasn't comparing himself to Michael Jordan, but
That's a great soundbite, though.
Oh, he was asked if he regretted leaving Western Michigan early because he fell to the seventh round.
Yeah.
And he said, one thing Michael Jordan said, once he made his decisions, he never looked back on it. So then someone asked him if he was a fan of Jordan growing up. He said, I'm just a fan of greatness.
It's awesome.
There's another guy who's got a
swagger and edge. You know? He's making the team.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. He's picked up right away. Why would you give up on a guy like that, like, immediately? You try to sneak him onto your practice squad, you know, but teams nowadays, they don't give you that professional courtesy of like, allowing you to do that. I mean.
They shouldn't.
No.
If a team thinks you're good, they should claim you.
They did it twice last year, picking up Harold Jones, Quartain, Gannon, Sinclair.
But if you're a team, wide receiver position is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless you're like, what's a horrible team out there? Like, if you're like the Cleveland Browns and you really need
everything,
a guy like that. Because if you claim him, you got to put him on your 53 right away.
Right.
So to put a guy like that on your 53 week one when you haven't had him all at camp.
Yeah.
That's kind of risky when someone doesn't have the prototypical size. And
when they claim Glennon Sinclair, who made the 75, and they were able to get him back on the practice squad. But Harold Jones Quartet was a bit later than that, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. I think let's talk about the receivers group a little bit.
Okay.
Who do you think Braverman has an edge over or can beat out? Mark Mariani's probably his top of competition if you're doing comparables.
Yeah.
Cameron Meredith versus Marquise Wilson. No guarantee Marquise Wilson is on this team.
I still think they'd like him, though. I think Wilson's been decent when healthy. The problem is staying healthy. I think Marquise Wilson's shown a lot more than Cam Meredith.
We should. He was a draft pick, and he's been around longer.
Yeah, seventh round
pick. He's played receiver much longer.
What about Eddie Royal?
I don't think they'll hesitate to cut him because of his money, but I think they like having the veteran.
I think if Royal's healthy in camp, it doesn't show any signs of...
Well, he was great in camp last year. Didn't exactly translate to big results during the regular season.
Right, but I can't see them letting him go if he has a solid camp. Mm-hmm. All his money's guaranteed, I believe.
Yeah, but still.
But if he gets hurt and they can't rely on him,
mm-hmm.
yeah, bye. I don't think they'll hesitate. I mean, how many wide receivers are they going to keep?
Marquise Wilson can't stay healthy either.
Well, I agree.
You got to be available, as Fox likes to say.
Would they carry six wideouts?
Well, Josh Bellamy's got the special teams edge. He's one of the best special teamers.
That's what I'm saying.
But he's going to push others in other positions. I mean, he's Josh Bellamy's success, special teams and as a receiver, is going to press them to keep it to Quiz Rogers, Sonoris Perry, even Kadeem Carey, who is not exactly a gunner as those other guys are in special teams. He's more of a blocker. At least he was able to succeed in some regard last year, later in the year as a blocker and kickoff. But
here's what I'm getting to. White makes a team, obviously. Jeffrey makes a team, obviously. Let's say Royal makes a team. Let's say Marquise Wilson makes a team. That's already four guys. Even if you keep six, and a lot of times you only keep five,
mm-hmm.
if you keep six, then one of Daniel Braverman, Mark Mariani, or Josh Bellamy has to go. And I haven't even gotten to Cameron Meredith.
Yeah.
So, you know, in that situation, if Mariani and Bellamy are showing that they're the better special teamers, which is something that Braverman talked about today and he needs to get better at. They're working him as a gunner.
He's also a returner, though. None of those guys are returners.
Well, Mariani is.
Mariani is the only one, yes.
Well, that's where it might come down to, one or the other there.
Yeah.
We're getting a little ahead of ourselves here, but this is the kind of – these are the type of battles we'll be looking at in training camp.
Yeah. I guarantee you some of the Bears people are probably talking about it already. I mean, they're evaluating this tape already.
Well, they made a cut yesterday.
Yeah.
And then signed up somebody new today off their one OTA practice. I don't know how they can even make that kind of determination. Yeah. But all right. Well, I think that's a good start for first week of OTAs. Plenty of good storylines. The only one we didn't get to talk to today that I was hoping to was Willie Young.
Yeah. With the report of the 2-year
looking for a contract extension.
Yep.
Probably why he didn't come talk to
us. I've always thought, I know he's liked it here more than he ever let on.
Yes.
I mean, some of that part was just his act's not the right way to put it, but it was part of his shtick or whatever. That's him not being an outside linebacker, defensive end. That was never a sign of friction with Clint Hurt or Vic Fangio. He likes playing for these guys.
As long as he gets his sacks, he's happy. Yeah. And he turned it on the second half.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested to see how those reps are handed out this year. It's going to be – I mean, there's a lot of good players there.
Yeah.
And you can't get them all on the field at the same time.
Will you slide a McPhee or Houston in? McPhee could play in.
Yeah.
Again, you could have one down lineman be Nettie Goldman. Mm-hmm. McPhee standing up over the guard. You know, there's so many – Vic Fangio's, it's over our pay grade here.
Houston can line up with his hand on the ground too.
Yeah,
and effectively be a five technique if he needs to. All right, cool. Well, we'll be back next week. We got two more OTA practices, and then veteran mini camp,
mm-hmm.
and then we break for a month.
Jeffrey news.
There's going to be some Jeffrey news in there at some point. What's your gut right now on that, real quick, before we get out of here?
My gut?
I kind of think he's going to play under the tag.
So do I.
That's not
what my gut tells me right now. But again, things can turn. I don't know what the true vibe of these negotiations are until they become real negotiations.
Right, because no one's going to budge until you get close.
No.
I just have, if you put a gun to my head right now and ask me which way I think it's going to go, I kind of think he's going to play under the tag.
I still think they want to learn more about the guy.
It'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah. He'll be a nice storyline come veteran minicamp.
Hang on, I'm in control of the music here today, so I have to do this. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
There it is. Got to get our close music in there. This is episode 34 of Intentional Grounding. Adam Hogan, Adam Johns here with you. Thanks for listening. Again, follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. WGNRadio.com/Bears and ChicagoSunTimes.com. Both of us have a lot of stuff up today from OTA, so check it out there. Again, if you haven't already, search Intentional Grounding on iTunes. Find the podcast there, subscribe, and rate and review it. We appreciate you doing that. We will talk to you next week from the second week of Bears OTAs.